I invite you to turn, please, over to the book of Mark, chapter 10. Mark, chapter 10. I'd like to read verse 46 through the end of the chapter, verse 52. Mark 10, 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called a blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. We have before us one who was in need of help. And may I point out that not in a petty manner did he, this man, seek for aid. No doubt he had sought all the avenues of assistance that was available to him, but alas, to no avail. And then one day he heard that Jesus was near. It is possible that he heard him preach, but only now longed for him. Perhaps someone had told him of Jesus and how that Jesus had helped others, and maybe he didn't believe at first, but had recently changed his mind. Or perhaps he heard of Jesus, and now is the first opportunity to meet him. In any case, no one led him to the Master. There wasn't anyone to carry him to the one who healed many others. It appeared that this man was on his own. And so he was going about his daily task and that of begging along the side of the road. But then Jesus passed by. He needed Jesus. And he called for Jesus. Despite the shushing of the crowd, he continued to cry out. And thankfully, Jesus heard him. And Jesus called for him. And so we have read how that Jesus gave him sight. My, what a wonderful story this is. Now, this story is a reminder to us that there are times in our lives when we need someone's assistance. We may be in need of help of a sibling or a friend. Or perhaps we wish to speak to our boss. Or maybe it's necessary to see a doctor or a dentist or a surgeon. Possibly it is needful to seek the aid of a pastor or the help of a counselor. I submit unto you that above all whom we might seek, we should seek the Lord. And may it be that Jesus will hear His voice and that He will call us to come to Him. I would like to speak a message unto you that my text will be verse 49, but we'll consider the context and we'll consider our text. But the message I've entitled is, "He Calls You." And I pray that the Lord would speak to your heart today. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the privilege of being in your house and these who are able to be with us today. And we ask that you would just, Lord, grant your grace to rest upon us, move by your Spirit, speak to us through your Word. Lord, we might be encouraged. We ask if there's any here today that is lost, that they might see their need of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray that you would grant repentance and faith, that today they would be saved. And Lord, whatever needs we have, you know them. And Lord, help them to help us to look to you and to lean upon you. And Father, help us to know there's a refuge in Jesus. We just ask you to bless your word as it goes forth today, and may your will be done. Lord, we honor you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Very simply, all I would like to do is look at our context today and make a review of the context and point out some things to you and a few points of application. And really, we will look at some points within our text and make application of that. So very simple outline today. We want to review the context, and so there's several items I want to bring to your attention. First of all, notice first in verse 46, the need of a man. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus. the son of Timaeus, sat by the wayside begging. Here's a fella who was blind. We don't know when he was blind. We don't know if he's born blind, like the fellow that's referenced over in John chapter 9, or if he had some sort of accident as he came along in his life, but we know that at this juncture, this guy is blind. And just as much as blindness in our society is a very great hindrance, it certainly was a great hindrance back then. I mean, to be blind is a very limiting thing. But you know what? Here's a guy that had a great need. And he knew what that need was. And I'm sure that he had other needs, just like every other person. We all have various types of needs, but boy, blindness is a major thing. And so we see here the need of a man. Now, I'm sure that he's not the only man that had need. As Jesus passed through Jericho, no doubt there were many other people in the streets that were begging. Those perhaps who were crippled, and perhaps others who might have been impotent in some form or another. Maybe there were other blind people at that time. But here's a guy in need. He's not the only one. And I submit that you're probably in need today in some form or another. Well, here's the need of a man for him. He was blind and he needed some help. So then notice in verse 47, the first part of the verse, the knowledge of the Lord. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. Now, of course, as I speak to you today, I'm going to point you to Jesus. My interest is to give praise and honor and glory to Jesus Christ. I want to direct you to the Son of God. And so you need to have a knowledge of the Lord. It's very difficult to call upon the Lord if you don't know anything about Him or have never heard of Him. Certainly if you're sick, you know what, if you didn't know that there was a doctor there that could help you or a surgeon that could perform a certain type of surgery, or if you had cancer and there's a guy that has this miraculous cure, if you didn't know about it, you wouldn't contact him. And so here today, whatever your need is, whether it be physical need or whether it be a spiritual need, I'm going to point you to Jesus Christ. And here's a guy that was in great need, and he heard of Jesus. He had a knowledge of the Lord. I don't believe that he was out there crying out, "Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me," just out of the wild blue. He didn't do that the days before, and he certainly didn't need to do that the days after. But the point is, when he heard of Jesus, when he had a knowledge of the Lord, that's when he turned to the Lord. And perhaps today, you might have a great need, and you just never considered to take that to God. I don't know why you wouldn't think that, but you want to go to the Lord. You want to cast your care upon Him. So here, if you're spiritually in great need, you're lost. Maybe you thought, well, I've tried this and I tried that. I've never went to God. I urge you today to turn to the Lord. Have a knowledge of Him. Think about who God is. This man had a need of in his life, and he had a knowledge of the Lord. Look then in verse 47 and verse 48, the nerve to call. Some people have a knowledge, have an awareness, but they never act upon it. It says, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." He had the nerve to call. He had a nerve to cry out to the Lord. And of course, we read in the text there that people shushed him. "Oh, keep quiet. Don't bother him. He's too busy." Well, he kept on calling. You know, I've talked to people before that had physical needs, and they just say, "Well, I just don't think it's right to pray to God and ask God to take care of that. I don't take any personal thing to God. I think that's a mistake." If you're sick, you know what? Ask God to heal you. If you have a financial need, ask God to provide for you. If you want protection for the family, ask God to give protection. You say, "Well, it's selfish, and God won't hear selfish needs." The Bible tells us we have not because we ask not. And I realize we can ask amiss that we might consume it upon our own lust, and therefore that directs us that in everything that we ask the Lord of and everything that we desire of Him, we want to do it for His honor and for His glory. But I'll tell you, if you're sick, ask God. And if you need you have a need, talk to the Lord about it. Go to Him. This guy had the nerve to call. Do you have the nerve to call upon God today? Sinner, do you have the nerve to turn to God and to talk to Him about your spiritual need? I encourage you to have a nerve to call. Bartimaeus did. And so he cried out to the Lord. Now, in verse 49, the first part of the verse, we also find the nearness of the Master. And boy, that's a good thing. Jesus stood still. He's within earshot. Again, I mentioned to you that he likely was not calling out for Jesus in the days before that because Jesus wasn't anywhere around. But when he heard that Jesus was passing by, and you know, aren't you glad Jesus was near for him? And so when he hears that Jesus is close, he begins to cry out. You'll also find, if you read in the book of Luke, that not too farther down the road, he's going to look up into the tree and see Zacchaeus up there. And Zacchaeus is certainly glad that Jesus passed by that day. And so, I'll tell you, I want you to know that God is nearer than you think. Sometimes we think God is just, you know, it's just so ethereal. He's just all way out there. It's just beyond. And God really doesn't see and God really doesn't know. Oh, that's a mistake. And I don't know where God resides. I mean, God is everywhere, but you know what? He still sees. He knows. He's here. And so realize the nearness of the Master. And if you have a need today, again, I'm going to point you to Jesus Christ. I want you to know He's near. You know, the Bible tells us where two or more are gathered together in His name, that He is in the midst of them. You know, Jesus comes and meets with us. He is near today. So we have the nearness of the Master in verse 49. But then notice the last part of verse 49 and into verse 50, the necessity to come. Now it says, and they call the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Jesus stopped, stood still, and says, hey, get that guy and bring him here. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. The necessity to come. If Jesus calls you, you ought to respond. If Jesus calls you to come, commands you to come, you need to get up, you need to go to Jesus. And so I encourage you today, not only recognize the nearness of Jesus, but if He leads your heart, if He's calling you, if He directs you, if He's drawing you, you ought to respond. You know, the Scripture tells us that there are those who will look into the perfect law of liberty and walk away and forget what manner of man they were. It's like looking in the mirror and you see the mirror, what you are in the mirror, and perhaps the dirt on your face or whatever might be there. Maybe you need to comb your hair, and you look at that and you turn around and you just forget it. You don't do anything about your hair. You don't do anything about washing the dirt off your face. Sometimes we'll do that to the Word of God, and sometimes we'll do that to the preaching of God's Word. God speak to our heart, and by the time you leave the house, you've forgotten what God was doing in your heart. Sometimes, as God moves in us, as God draws us, I tell you, if you do not respond, if you do not react to that, so what we'll do is we'll forget it. And I encourage you to respond to God. As He leads you, as He draws you, as He connects with you, then I encourage you to connect with Him. This guy had great need. And Jesus said, bring him to me. And you know what? This guy, he got up and he went to the Lord. He had, it was necessary that he should come, and he arose and he came to Jesus. And then, of course, the need of the man was supplied. Verse 51, verse 52, Jesus answered, said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Did Jesus know? Yeah, certainly he knew. He knew before he ever walked into town that he was going to meet Bartimaeus, and he knew that what he was going to do for Bartimaeus. But he still asked him, what is it that you want me to do? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. I've counseled for all my ministry, I counsel people, tell them your heart. You say, well, God knows. God knows everything. Yes, He does, but He wants to hear it. He wants you to recognize it. Tell Him your need. Tell Him your burden. Tell Him the whatever is bothering you. You say, well, I'm angry at God. Then tell Him. I know He knows. Let's say to Him, God, I am angry at You because of my situation. I'm upset. I'm beginning to doubt and to waver. Tell the Lord. Jesus said, what is it you want? And He told him, I want sight. And Jesus gave him sight. And he followed Jesus in the way. So the need of the man was supplied. In application of this context, as we've discussed these points today, I just want to enumerate these to you very, very quickly. Number one, whatever it is, man must see his need. And you here today, you have to see whatever need you have in your heart. Whatever's going on in your life, you must see that need. Secondly, he must then know of Jesus who can help. I'm going to point you to Jesus. But if you don't know about him, you certainly can't turn to him. And so if you have a need today and you see you have great need, I'm going to point you to Jesus Christ. Know of the Lord who can help. And then I would encourage you, number three, that he must call upon the Lord. That's what Bartimaeus was doing. He had this need. He heard the Lord was there, and he cried out, "Jesus of Nazareth, you help me. Have mercy on me." I don't know your need today. I don't know your heart today. But whatever that need is, I encourage you to call upon the Lord. And so do that very thing. Then number four, I submit that Jesus might choose to stop, have compassion, and to respond. Now, I say that because I don't want to imply that there's a universal salvation to all men. I don't want to imply that if you just cry out with anything at all, that he's just going to come and answer your every whim. I don't believe the success theology that you can see on the television and in the ministries of some people today where God never wants you sick, never have a problem, never have a care. Truth is, the Bible tells us there are many people that were sick. Many people had cares. None of them were healed. A lot of those people weren't healed. The Great Hall of Faith, some of those people perished. But I do want you to know whatever your need is today, he may choose to hear. He may choose to stop. He may choose to have compassion on you. And the Bible tells us there are some people that have hardened their hearts, went away from God, and God says, "Because you've not heard me, when you cry, I will not hear you." I understand that. And so I would encourage you, don't be turning away from God. Don't be neglecting him. Don't be hardening your heart, because the farther you go in that condition, when you decide you do want to respond to him, when you decide you do want to call out to him, he might not hear. Does that make sense to you? But it's important to know that you need to call out, and God in his grace and God in his mercy may hear and respond. And he's the one that can really help you. So he might choose to hear and he might choose to stop. And then number five, he in turn then may call you. And when God calls, respond. I don't know what your need is today. And as you take your burden to the Lord and you cry out to him, he may be leading you and guiding you and directing you in some specific way in regard to that need. Then respond. When God calls, you need to respond. You need to get up and do as he would have you to do. And then I want to encourage you from this context. The last thing is this, number six. God can meet your need. God is a sovereign God. He rules and reigns on his throne. There's nothing beyond his power. You say, "Well, God just doesn't understand." He does understand. "Oh, I'm too far in debt." God owns the cattle of 1,000 hills, and he owns the hills. "Oh, I've got physical needs." God created man to begin with. He can certainly take care of any physical need. "Well, I've got this problem and that problem." God can't do it. It's beyond him. No, it isn't true. I heard a guy the other day, it's just a saying that is sometimes expressed, but there was a problem going on, and I heard this guy say, "God and his brother couldn't fix this." And, of course, you know, I got a smile on my face, and we had a short engagement after that, you know, a little bit of discussion on that. But I knew where he was coming from. But isn't that the expression? You know, some people really do think that. Well, God just can't do anything about it. God can meet your need. If you don't believe it, ask blind Bartimaeus. "What do you want?" "I want my sight." "Ah, then receive your sight." Well, now I want to direct your attention to verse 49. And I want you to look at this text. And again, the title is, "He Calls You." This is what we find in our verse, and I just want to point out some points in the text. Verse 49, "And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." Now, before we begin the points of verse 49, I really do have to have a preliminary point and back up to verse 48, because even though I just mentioned this in passing a moment ago as we went through the context, I want to emphasize this to you. In verse 48, there's a hindrance. Often people will hinder. "As this man began to cry out, it says, many charged him that he should hold his peace." And it's amazing, but too, that'll happen in Christian service. I stand up and say, "Take your burdens to the Lord. Talk to him. Tell him anything. Give him your heart." And there might be somebody that come along and say, "Oh, well, that preacher, you don't know what he's talking about. You can't tell God anything. You don't tell him everything. God already knows." People will hinder you. And as they're being encouraged to come to God, as these guys are crying out, here's Bartimaeus, and they're saying, "Shh, shh, here's a blind man. He needs great help, and he's calling out to Jesus," and they're, "Shh, too busy for you. Well, he wasn't too busy. Cry out to him. As amazing as it is, Christians will hinder other Christians in their walk with the Lord. Christians will hinder other Christians in finding their needs. Let it not be. Don't let somebody hinder you. If God's calling you, you cry out to him. Don't let anybody stop you. You respond to God. And so we see a hindrance in verse 48. But look into verse 49 then. With this crying out to the man, of the man to Jesus, we have in verse 49 the hearing. Jesus stood still. Jesus stood still. By that I mean that Jesus heard him. Did Jesus know that he was there? Yeah, he knew before he ever came into town what was going to happen that day. But Jesus heard his voice. Remember what I said a few moments ago? You have not because you ask not. You simply don't ask. And I would encourage you to ask. Because Jesus can hear. Jesus does hear. That doesn't mean that he's going to just answer like a glorified Santa Claus, but Jesus hears. And Jesus may respond. Jesus stood still. Now I wonder, as they went through this town, he was coming out of Jericho. The crowd was thronging him. There was a lot of people. And you know what crowd noise will do. Boy, it makes it difficult to hear, isn't it? And so here he's going through the town, and no doubt there were other people calling Jesus' name. I'm sure that with other people calling him, and the crowd noise and the hubbub of the town and all that, and yet in the distance, over the roar of the crowd, he heard Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of David. I need your mercy. I'm glad that despite all the cries of the world, you know what? He can still hear my voice. Yeah, some people really do believe that. They believe that there are so many voices in the world that God does not hear theirs. I've had people make that expression to me. Well, he's too busy, and all these people talk, and he's not going to hear me. You cry out to God, God will hear. Again, he may not be a glorified Santa Claus for you, but he'll hear. And Jesus heard this man's voice. Now we also find in verse 49, I want to point out to you that Jesus stood still. He commanded them to be called. And it says, and they called a blind man. We have the hindrance that people were stopping him, but he cried out, and Jesus heard. But then we also see some helpers. And that's what we find in verse 49. They called a blind man. Jesus didn't stop and then turn around and go to Bartimaeus. I don't know why he didn't. He could have. But Jesus stayed where he was. Jesus stood there and he commanded that Bartimaeus come to him. Now let me ask you, did Jesus really have to have Bartimaeus come to him to heal him? No. Could he have healed him long distance? Well, that would have been short distance. But he didn't have to be in his presence. And I know when you read about Jesus, sometimes he healed people by making clay and anointing their eyes and touching and spitting. And all, I mean, there's all kinds of things and manners of which Jesus can do. And then other times he speaks a word. And we know that's what he does in this case. But he could have spoken a word before Bartimaeus ever got up from his seat. But Jesus chose to call the blind man. Call him. Bring him to me. And so Jesus stood where he was. And thank God for the helpers. Thank God for those who went to Bartimaeus and said, hey, you don't need to keep crying out anymore. Be of good comfort. Be of good cheer. He calls you. He wants you to come to him. And so we see in this passage about the hindrance, but yet the hearing of Jesus and the helpers who helped. But verse 49, the last part of that verse, there were, be of good comfort. Be of good comfort. Boy, there's hope. That's what I'm trying to extend to you here today. Hope. Be of good comfort. Whatever your need is, whatever your care is, whether you're saved or whether you're lost, I think there's hope in God. And I believe that your resource is Jesus Christ. May you find hope. Now, the last part of the verse is the hailing. And it says, be of good comfort, he calleth thee. Rise, man, rise. Jesus hails you. He's calling you to come to him. Does this verse make sense to you? Can you see from the entire context, the story that's going on, but right here in verse 49, he calls for Bartimaeus. And these responses, the message that I've given to you and the response that we see is essential. Now let me make application of this. What's your need today? Sickness? Sorrow? Difficulties in life? Tribulations? Maybe some spiritual thing that you're going through, Christian walk, Christian growth, something along that line. Or maybe you need forgiveness of sin. Maybe you're here and you're lost. I don't know your need, but God knows your need. He knows everything that's going on in your life. What's your need today? Do you know your need? Is there something that's burdening you? Something that's bothering you? Something that is at your attention? I urge you to cry out to Jesus. I urge you to take it to Him. And I believe with all my heart that He can help. You say, well, God doesn't understand. He does understand. God doesn't know. Yes, He does know. And I may not know, but God does. And I encourage you today to cry out to God. If you're in need, God can help you today in your need. We saw in those points that I gave as I went through verse 49, let me just reapply these very quickly. Remember, Jesus heard. If I believe that Jesus will hear. Now listen to me. If you will truly and humbly call, He will hear. How do I know that? Because Psalm 51:17 says this, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise." Whatever your need is today, if you will truly and humbly call upon God, He will hear your voice. He may then hail you. He may call you. And God may be calling you today. How would I think about that? How would I know that? Hebrews 3:15 tells us today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. You know, there are people that are lost that are under conviction, they're being drawn, and they harden their hearts. There are Christians who are wavering. There are Christians who are cold. Hearted and backslidden, and God's drawing, God's tapping on their shoulder, getting their attention, and they harden their hearts. I'm saying to you today, whatever your need is, whatever your burden is, whether it be physical, whether it be emotional, whether it be financial, whether it be psychological, spiritual, whatever it is, take it to the Lord. And you might be sitting there saying, man, preacher, just stick to preaching and quit talking about this kind of thing. Do not harden. Would you take your burden to the Lord? Now, I would also submit to you, as we mentioned in that passage about helpers, God often uses human agency to meet your need. And there are two aspects of which this is accomplished. First of all, and I invite you to turn back to Matthew chapter 25. Book of Matthew chapter 25. And what we have is a discussion about the end time when the nations stand before God, and there's an address here toward the righteous. And I just want you to see something that's being expressed in the text. Matthew chapter 25, I'll pick it up in verse 38. The righteous respond and they say, "When saw we thee a stranger or took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came to thee?" The king shall answer and say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me." God has chosen to use human agency to help meet the needs of others. At the beginning, I suggested, well, you might have the need of a friend or the need of a sibling, a doctor, a dentist, a surgeon. Well, all healing is going to come from God. Any blessing is going to come from God. All good things come from Him. But He will often use people to do it. God does use human agency. He could have healed the blind man from a distance, but He didn't. Call this man. And these people went over, comforted him, and said, "Come on, We're going to take you to Jesus. Now remember, he was blind. He didn't know exactly where he was. So he needed somebody to lead him. And in your need today, I urge you to call upon him. And if he calls you, you need to respond to him. But I also want you to remember that God will use helpers. Sometimes Christians get arrogant and we become self-righteous and self-justified. We don't receive help from others. And that's a mistake. God will often use others to meet those needs. But then in the second aspect of that, I want to remind you that, especially if you're here and you're lost, God uses others because Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says that God chose by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And so, you know what? God may heal you, but he might use others to meet your need, whether in a physical sense or a spiritual sense. You're here and you're lost. God may use someone to reach you. I hope he'll use this message to speak to your heart. And then as you pursue the burden and the desire of your soul, maybe it could be a neighbor, it could be me, it could be somebody else, but they might show you about Jesus, the mighty to save. And you might be saved as a result. God uses helpers. Also, in application of this text, I want to remind you of the hope. When God calls, there's hope. Be of good comfort. Be of good comfort. Take hope. Should we really be like those of the world who have no hope? I mean, the scripture talks about that in relationship to those who have died before. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and he talks about we don't sorrow as others who sorrow. The world doesn't have any hope. I'm amazed sometimes at what the people of the world, how they handle life and how they go through it. I think, man, I don't know how they do that without Jesus. But I'm so glad that Jesus is there, that I have hope, that I can cry out to my God. But again, before we reach a conclusion, sometimes there's hindrance. Realize men will sometimes hinder. As you strive to follow Jesus, as you strive to follow him, to be obedient to him, sometimes there are those who will be holding you back. And as you want to do what God wants you to do, you want to be obedient, and as God's calling you, leading you, guiding you, directing you, sometimes there'll be people who will be the wet wash rag, you know, and there are those who will hold you back. But you be faithful to God. You honor God with your life, and God will honor you. You draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. You cry out to the Lord with humility and with a broken heart. God will hear. I like that Bartimaeus kept on crying out. And I think he got louder and louder. I encourage you to cry out to the Lord, even if people are trying to hinder you. So we've looked at the context, we've looked at the text. Let me give you a very quick conclusion. First of all, a blind man found the help that he needed. And I believe that you can find the help that you need today. I want to express that in two capacities. And I invite you to turn back to Matthew chapter 11. If you went to chapter 25, it shouldn't be too hard to get back a few chapters to your left. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. I want to submit to you, first of all, that Christian, he calls you to him. And he wants you to cast your care upon him. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You say, well, that's just an evangelistic application. Well, I'm not so sure that it is. Are you heavy laden today? Do you have a burden? He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Dear Christian, I believe that God loves you as much as he loves his own son. And he calls you to come to him, and he calls you to cast your care upon him. Remember Hebrews 13:5, it says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God has not left you. 1 Peter 5:7, we're told to cast all of our care upon him, for he cares for us. We need to cast our care upon him. And I remind you of that precious verse over in Hebrews chapter 4. Let me read it to you in verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. God wants to hear your voice. He wants you to come to him. I think every parent understands that. Every parent always desire for that child and their needs and their burdens to express that. Hey, Mom. Hey, Dad. And I'll tell you, my friend, God loves you. And God cares for His own. And as His child, He has not forsaken you. You're not alone. You're told to go to the throne of grace. And that's all I'm trying to tell you here today. Whatever your need is, He's calling you, dear Christian. Calling you to come to the throne. Would you do it? But then I must express to the lost person here today, and turn, if you would, back to John chapter 5. If you're here and you're lost, I want to express to you very clearly that Jesus calls you to come to Him. Say, well, I don't understand that. Listen, Acts chapter 17, go to John 5. But Acts chapter 17, verse 30 says, God commendeth all men everywhere to repent. Many years ago, when I worked in a machine shop up in Ohio, there was a guy I worked with, and I witnessed to him and witnessed to him and witnessed to him. And one day he told me, he says, well, if God ever commands me to repent, I will. Well, he didn't know the scripture. And so I turned over to Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, and I showed him the verse, and I said, now God commands all men everywhere to repent. That means you. He still didn't repent. But God commanded him. And I want you to know, if you're here and you're lost today, God commands you to repent. God calling you today. Now, John chapter 5, look at verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. He that hears my word, you can believe. Turn over to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Jesus always made a general call. Now, I know there's the effectual call of the Holy Spirit, but Jesus always extended a general call. And in John chapter 7, we read in verse 37, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And I make the same general call to you. Believe. If you thirst today, you're lost today, believe. Back in chapter 5, John, two verses and I'm finished. Jesus said, verse 39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Then he said, and you will not come to me that you might have life. What a dreadful thing. He says, if any man thirst, let him come. There's the general call. Would you rise? Would you go to Jesus? Sinner, would you be saved today? Would you see your need? You're lost, you're undone, you're doomed to devil's hell. Jesus alone is the Savior. He commands you to repent. Would you respond? Would you turn to Jesus? Would you cry out to Him and say, Jesus, have mercy on me? Sinner, would you be saved today? Christian, would you realize whatever your need is, you have one in heaven who loves you, cares for you, and He desires to hear your voice. Would you cry out to Him? He calls you. He calls you. Would you get up and go? I'd like for us to stand and sing. If you would, let's stand. The invitation simply is this, right where you are, if God's spoken to your heart, that you would respond to Him. That those needs might be met. If you need help, you're welcome to come. You say, well, you're leading a song. Doesn't matter. If you need to come, you come. The singing will keep going, I'm sure. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for your word and opportunity to share it. And I pray that you would, Lord, bless it to every heart. And I pray that it's been received in the manner in which it's been expressed. And I pray that you've been honored and glorified through it. We ask you to save the lost and strengthen the saved. Meet every need of every heart. We commit it to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.